Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Oh yeah, he's back. The crack of the bat, the ping of the crossbar, and the roar of the crowd. We cover everything you want to talk about. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, Canada. Sports fans around the world, Canadian sports fans, that is. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show on a very special episode. It is episode number 99 of the Rod Peterson Show. So we will refer to it as the Gretz episode. I'm not even going to make a joke about former Riders defensive end number 99, Wayne Weathers.
No.
It's the Great One episode today. Welcome, everybody, to the bunker out here in Western Canada, which I say every day, and today it really means something. We're going to get into that in the warm-up. I'm Rod Peterson. He's Darren DuPont. So if I'm black, he's Decker. Together, we're Black and Decker. I thank our social media advisor, Ty Dacu, for that. He came up with a list of ones yesterday. It was great. Busy show today. Our good and longtime friend, Greg Zahn, will be joining us. World Series champion, Blue Jays great, 16 years in the majors. He'll be joining us to talk about the World Series, which opens tonight, don't you know?
Mm-hmm.
Washington Nationals, Houston Astros, game one tonight. Marshall Hamilton will be joining us in the bunker in moments. Riders Stamps, Ticats alum, to talk about week 20 in the CFL. Jim Lang, our NFL insider, will roll by. And our director of scouting, Craig Smith, two-time Grey Cup champion, will be here in the bunker. Some of the notes that I have here to get to in the warm-up and throughout this program, Cody Fajardo signs a two-year extension with the Riders yesterday. Everybody's going nuts about it, and it's all positive, except for, as you know, I was on the radio in Lloydminster this morning, just this morning. Hello to all our viewers and listeners up there in the Lloydminster area. The question from Bucky Buchanan, the host, was, is this too soon? Too small of a body of a work for Fajardo?
We're going to get into that.
I'll put that to the experts.
Yes.
So that's coming. Trevor Harris activated by the Edmonton Eskimos. So clearly he's going to want to knock off some rust here in the next two games, which just happened to be against the Saskatchewan Roughriders. He needs a tune up. The Eskimos need a playoff tune up. I would think they're 8-8 going into the playoffs as the fourth seed. What do the Eskimos mean as opponents for the Saskatchewan Roughriders? We'll talk a little bit about Heritage Classic, of course. I've been kicking around all kinds of ideas in my head as to what today's poll question would be. And it'll probably be later in the week. Who will win the Heritage Classic, Flames or Jets? I think it's too early for that on a Tuesday.
Yeah, probably.
There will be no Theo Fleury at the Heritage Classic. As we've talked about before, he said he wasn't invited, therefore he's not coming. A lot of NHL people saying, how's Theo not invited? This is his province. This is his team. It makes no sense. Well, who knows why people do things that they do. And Theo, by the way, probably couldn't make it anyways because he's busy leading the Western separatist movement.
He's all over it. Big time.
I don't think he slept last night after the Trudeau government was extended by Canadians in the polls. Speaking of polls, this is the question we settled on because we had a few, but here's what it's going to be. For Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center, I haven't tweeted it yet, but in the light of the Fajardo extension, this is why it came up. Oh, Clark says he tweeted it already. Who is the most outstanding player in the CFL West? Mindful of the fact we only have four options on Twitter, okay? We only have four plus on Facebook. Bo Levi Mitchell, Cody Fajardo, Brian Burnham, or Andrew Harris. You're going to have to fix that, Clark. At least what's on my monitor here. Yeah. Scrap it all. He's got Burnham on there twice. No, it's Bo Levi Mitchell, Cody Fajardo, Brian Burnham, or Andrew Harris. Those are your four options. Edmonton, don't at me. But as we said, Marshall's laughing over there. Maybe this will tick off Trevor Harris enough that he was ignored from our poll that maybe he'll come out breathing fire this week. That's our poll. You've got 24 hours to vote on it now. And just on the, and I'm going to get to you here, Darren. We got just pumped. in the Great Western Slow Pitch League last night.
Yeah, it wasn't
pumped.
Fun. It wasn't fun.
33-9 apparently. Was that what the score was? I stopped watching. I couldn't watch. And I'm playing the game.
We had such a promising start. You know, we came out and we ran through the order. We mercied them for five or six runs in the opening inning. And then we just rested on that and thought that was going to be enough. It wasn't. They basically pumped our eyes shut.
33-9. I said to the boys at the table, I said, I'm glad we don't have a coach. He would be losing it on us right now. He'd be making us walk home. But I talked to the Ballers boys in the gym this morning, and they said those guys we played last night are like professional slow pitch players. There's a reason they've never lost.
Okay.
If that makes you feel
bad, yeah.
If that makes you feel any better. People are writing in on the Facebook wall with hashtag Wexit, Western Exit. I'm not going. I was thinking of that being a poll question today. Do you ever envision a day where Western Canada separates from the rest of Canada? People have gone so far, I noticed this morning on Twitter, is already coming up with our nation's hockey team. If we separate, and it's Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta, BC, our goalies would be Carey Price and Carter Hart. We'd have Ryan Getzlaff. We'd have Jonathan Toews, Jay Bouwmeester. We probably could convince Cooney to come out of retirement.
Oh, yeah.
We'd have a pretty good hockey team.
We'd be okay.
Just saying.
We'd be okay. That's a great thing. Now I want to put together the team. I wonder what we could come up with.
We'd have a damn. We probably would beat Canada.
Oh, yeah.
And look, I put up a photo last. I'm not a political guy. I'm not a politico. I voted.
No, me either.
But I put up a photo of Chris Jones and Justin Trudeau last night after the Liberals were declared winners, and I just got soundly trounced by friends and family. And I get it. And I took it down because I'm like, I don't even really like Trudeau. And I saw your let's all hold hands kumbaya tweet about, hey, the sun came up, basically. But let me just say this. This Western separatist movement probably won't happen, but I get it. Because if you're a farmer, you're paying for more fuel in a week than everybody else is paying all year. Mm-hmm. Thousands of dollars on a carbon tax that makes no sense. I get why farmers are pissed off, and that's my family.
Yeah.
The oil people that are all my friends, don't even get me started on the lack of the pipeline that Trudeau doesn't support. They're going out of business. As a matter of fact, those guys in Lloyd this morning told me they just got a notification. Husky announced a wave of layoffs this morning. I do have people that work for big oil companies saying if Trudeau is reelected, you're all getting laid off.
You're done.
So it's not just let's hold hands and kumbaya or you're great.
That's not the point of the message.
So you go ahead.
No. It's a simple
message.
Will
you explain yourself?
I just really firmly believe that the person that we elect in government, whether it's in the United States, whether it's in Canada, doesn't affect my ability to be successful. I do think that it, you know, changes the playing field, sure. And that was somebody's comment came in that, you know, things get tougher and things get more difficult. So what? We're playing the football game now in a muddy field in the rain. We still got to play the game. We still have to win the game. So it's just the circumstances change. We all have to play the game. And for me, whether I'm a conservative or a liberal, and you know, I've done the compass. I fall right in the middle of everybody. Okay, and you probably would believe that for sure. But at the end of the day, the hate's not what's going to get us out of this. And being upset is a good thing, but it's not going to get us out of this. We need a leader from the West that can pull the whole country together. And I think that's what the conservatives need. I really do. I don't talk about politics publicly because I'm not a politico like you are. I don't follow the issues. So don't get on me for that because I couldn't tell you all of the issues or what's going to work or what's not. But I know if the West gets the right leader, if they get the right leader, the whole country will unite again and potentially be blue. And I think that leader could come from this province.
Well, it's not going to happen for four more years, and I see why people are ticked off today.
Could be two.
That's my point.
Could be two.
Okay.
That's the one thing I did hear that might give some people some hope, is that minority governments typically have a shelf life of about 20 to 22 months.
Back to sports, because it feels better.
Yes, please. Can we sing Kumbaya for a second?
Joe Lazzito. I say that in my John Lynch voice. Down in New York State, regarding the Fajardo signing, he says, my head says it's too soon. My heart says, who cares? I love it. That's great. I'm with you. And I honestly can't wait to get Marshall into the bunker to get his analysis. But that $450,000 a year, again, awesome. I'm all for people making as much money as they can. Believe me, I am. That tells me what Jeremy O'Day and the Saskatchewan Roughriders think of Cody Fajardo. That's what it tells me.
Yeah.
Because I was in the 350 range, i.e., he hasn't won a playoff game yet. He hasn't performed in the cold yet. He hasn't done this. Well, Riders clearly think that he can't.
And that's the going rate right now for an undisputed starting quarterback, right, which Cody Fajardo in Saskatchewan is the undisputed starting quarterback. He's earned the job. There's no competition next year going into training camp. He's earned it. And yeah, you got the guys at $700,000 or north of that or wherever they end up. And you got Trevor Harris north of $500,000. But that $400,000 to $500,000 right now is the going rate for an undisputed starting quarterback, and Cody's that, and I think he's earned that. I like that it's a two-year deal, so you're not hooked into this for a really long term. And if Cody plays well and those salaries go even higher and the cap goes up, then he has the opportunity to cash in again if he wants to. So I think it's a really good deal.
It's an outstanding deal. Monty in Saskatoon, it's Monty. You know Monty?
Yeah, I know Monty.
The former Huskies equipment guy writes in and he says, Aaron Judge wears 99 with the New York Yankees. This is the 99th edition of the show. We're just leaving this with Wayne, right?
I was going to mention Warren Sapp for fun, but yeah, let's leave it with Wayne.
This is the great one episode. J.J. Watt from the couch, they tell me. No more phone calls, folks. I think we have a winner. It's Wayne Gretzky. End of story. Gustav Nyquist made the most of a rare opportunity as we look at the morning headlines today. He scored the OT winner on a penalty shot to lift the Columbus Blue Jackets to a 4-3 win over the Leafs last night. Did you see Babs after the game?
Yeah.
Too many penalties. Not even blaming the refs.
That's what you said after a slow pitch game.
Yeah, the umps screwed us last night in that 33-9 loss in our Great Western Slow Pitch League at Ballers.
It was a penalty shot in overtime. That was the winner for Columbus last night. But, yeah, too many penalties.
A penalty shot in overtime?
That was the winner
for Columbus.
You basically
need to break somebody's leg with an axe.
Exactly. And, I mean, the Leafs are undisciplined. The other night against Boston, they had three or four penalty kills. Didn't have a single power play that night.
Oh, the New England Patriots stayed unbeaten with a dominant performance. Tom Brady set the tone with a long slice-and-dice touchdown drive. 9.5 minutes! I've never seen a drive that long.
It's insane.
I've seen 11, 12-play drives, but not ones that took 9.5 minutes.
I know. The guys in the studio are going crazy. No commercial break.
I know. That's surgeon-like. And New England's blitz-happy defense forced Sam Darnold into 5 turnovers in a 33-0 win over the New York Jets last night on Monday Night Football, a game in which Sam Darnold came off the field and said, I'm seeing ghosts out there. I saw the clip. Did you see the clip of him saying that?
Yeah.
Poor guy. Opening himself up to a lot of ridicule today for saying that. So we got a lot of things to get to today. Marshall Hamilton joins us in the bunker next. This is the warm-up, and again, on the way today, Greg Zahn, Craig Smith, and Jim Lang. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. We have over 800 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new vehicles and 1.9% on used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Alan Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Tuesday morning sports show continues. The best damn sports show. Tuesday, October the 22nd, coming to you from the bunker in Western Canada. Sports update for Ballers Rec Room. The Regina Pats Hockey Club has announced they've acquired 19-year-old goalie Donovan Buskey from the Prince Albert Raiders in exchange for 18-year-old goalie Matthew Pacenti. Buskey's been with the Trail Smoke Eaters in the BC Hockey League 3-4 this year, 3.78 GAA, but he backed up the Smoke Eaters to a playoff upset last year, Darren, just so you know. So there's news from the Queen City Kids, and the Saskatchewan Rush have traded Nick Billich to the Vancouver Warriors for a 2022 second-round pick. Billich spent six seasons as a member of the Rush, won three rings. He's a super guy.
He is.
He's a first-class guy.
He is. Great guy.
So I don't know how you move out Nick Billich. I'm sure they have their reasons. Rush training camp opening up first week in November.
I trust Derek Keenan. I do.
Good point.
I trust Derek Keenan to make these decisions.
Good point. That is your morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. Thanks for joining us for coffee this morning. Caliber Coffee and treats provided by Perkin Taps. And you know I wouldn't read a joke on here if it wasn't great. The lady that brings the treats every day, Donna, right?
Donna.
She writes jokes on the boxes, Marshall, every day. Did you know that?
I've seen the boxes a couple times with a joke on it, so I didn't know it was a daily thing, but...
Yes, it's a daily thing.
Let's hear it.
It's the top says, it's not that I can't juggle, I just don't have the balls. That's from a lady.
I didn't read it before.
That's pretty good.
That is
That's
fun.
Pretty good. So thanks for joining us for coffee this morning, everybody. Marshall, where do you want to start?
It was a timely joke, because I was actually juggling on the weekend with a friend of mine. We each had three pickleballs in our hand, and we were throwing these balls up.
Wow.
Balls up and down. My wife's got a video of it. So I learned how to juggle waiting for hockey practice to start back when I was in college. So three pucks, throwing them around.
That's interesting.
Pickleballs don't hurt as much when they land on your toes as pucks do.
And they don't move as fast.
And since I've used the word pickleball, I have a whole bunch of pickleball friends that are saying, heck, I mean, never say anything about pickleball on the show. I go, well, we're mostly talking about football and hockey and stuff, but... Great. For those of you that have never played it, great, great sport. Ton of great people.
Do you play indoors in the winter?
Play everywhere all the time.
Hey,
I mean, right now, it's the fastest. For those of you that don't know about the sport, it's got a stupid name. I admit it. Stupid name. Pickleball. Who named it pickleball? I know the story, but I won't get into it. But it's got this reputation for being sort of a Mickey Mouse sport because it's got a terrible name. And it's mostly seniors that play the game. But you look at the sport now. It's the fastest growing sport in North America. There are people of all ages starting to play. It's a sport where men and women can play together. It's a sport where women or older people and younger people can play together competitively. It is a fantastic sport. I played indoors all winter. Except when I'm in Mesa.
Marshall, the commissioner of the Pickleball League. We got to move on. It's all Reg Lackness, I'm sure, is asking you why you're not talking about pickleball. That's why we don't talk about horseshoes. It's all I can do to talk about curling. Back off with the pickleball.
All right, I'm done.
Yeah.
I say that there is no other 99 than Gretzky?
Right, I'm writing.
I mean, that's just not even a contest. I mean, I obviously I'm older than a lot of our audience, but back then in the National Hockey League, everybody had either one digits or two digits below 20 was what you had on your jersey. And all of a sudden, this brash young kid, and it was probably, can't remember the name of the guy that signed him, Nelson Scalbania, that was probably his first agent, said, well, why don't we go with something wacky like 99, which is two Gordie Howes, because Gordie Howe was his hero growing up. So all of a sudden now you've got a two-digit high number on the back of a hockey player, and now those high numbers are everywhere. Crosby, 87, Kane, 88, etc. Gretzky was an innovator in so many ways, and you ask any Canadian, I mean, it's going to be a different answer in the United States, you ask any Canadian, who owns the number 99? You'll get 99% of us will say Wayne Gretzky.
Well, today on this show, it's 100%. But moving on to the Cody Fajardo signing. And I'm actually loving this poll result so far. Prairie Mobile text line taking your votes as well. But for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center, who was the most outstanding player in the CFL West? 55% of Twitter respondents saying Cody Fajardo. 21% saying Brian and Burnham. This is on Twitter. Andrew Harris gets 15%, and Bo Levi Mitchell only 8% of the vote. And this isn't pro rider fans. We've learned this is CFL-wide viewers, listeners, and voters on our polls. And you got something to say about Edmonton in this, because we don't have an Eskimo in our poll because there was only four options.
Well, if we had a fifth option, so my challenge to those of you listening in Alberta in particular in Edmonton is, if we had a fifth, who would you put on there? Because I struggled with who would I put on there other than maybe a defensive lineman, and the only name that came to mind was Amondo Sewell. I mean, I don't know who, if I was an Edmonton Eskimo fan, I'd put on there. It's not going to be one of your quarterbacks. It's definitely not going to be your head coach. Sorry, that was a political statement.
Yeah.
It's not one of your running backs. It's not one of your receivers. Who is it? So write in and tell us who you think.
Early season, it was Trevor Harris. But
true.
We're talking about the whole body of work, and right. He's been injured too, and the team's now 8-8. So yeah, I'm with you. I have no idea who would be from Edmonton. I'm not sure.
Doesn't matter.
No, because they're not on the poll.
They're not on the poll. So the best point came from Marshall. Who would you name? Can't think of anybody. Now, to the Fajardo extension. I mean, leave it to those radio guys in Lloydminster to be the fly in the ointment. That is it too soon to give him the deal and this much money? I never even thought about it. I love the guy. I think he's the guy this team's been waiting for 5 years. And yeah, I don't think it's too soon. But Marshall, how would you answer that question?
Yeah, you got to sort of break the question into two. Is it too early for an extension? No, absolutely not. He's earned it, and it's the right thing for him. It's the right thing for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. So it's not too early for an extension. Is it too much money too soon? In my opinion, I'd say yes. But, you know, you got to pay the going rate. I mean, if you want a pair of jeans and they're selling your favorite pair of jeans for $100, either you want the jeans and you're going to pay $100, or you're not going to get the jeans. And you're going to save the $100. So Jeremy O'Day looked around the league and said, you know, I think I'm going to have to pay this guy $400 or north of $400 to get him. And they didn't want to lose him in free agency to somebody else in the offseason. So he paid more than he wanted to. But he didn't pay Mike Riley money. He didn't pay Trevor Harris money. I was actually surprised how much money Franklin was making when I read Justin Dunk's 3 Down Nation report. The amount of money surprised me, but I'm still happy. I think it's the right move for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. So we had one good result yesterday, not in the election, but we did in the Rider general management ranks.
There were PR people saying it was a bad move by the Riders to announce that extension on the same day as the federal election. That they would have got more pub if they'd waited today or the next day, but whatever. Not going to please everybody. And maybe they didn't want it to get out. Maybe they just signed it, right? Maybe they wanted to rush to announce it. I don't know. Enough people that needed to know found out about it.
Yeah, and Jeremy O'Day does a really good job at, you know, and you know, and you've said this to me a lot of times, that just keeping everything close and not leaking any of the information. And so that was good. And they made the announcement, and I think they're happy to move on and get this out of the way with a couple of weeks before the playoffs start. So time to, okay, enjoy the contract. We'll talk about it, you know, over the next couple of weeks. But when the playoffs start, that distraction, it's all done.
Well, go ahead, Marshall.
I was going to say, I like the timing of it. I think if he'd announced it today, it would have been, well, why would you do that on the day when everybody's announcing either happily or mournfully the results of the election? They trumped the election. They went ahead of the election. So I think it was good timing.
Mm-hmm. Like I say, everybody's got an opinion. It's like belly buttons, and a lot of them stink. However, those Lloydminster guys, I'm serious, stick your finger in your belly button sometime. Doesn't smell good. The guys in Lloydminster, these brought up some great questions. You know, Greg Buchanan, the announcer there, said, what if they get off to a slow start next year and Fajardo doesn't play well? Will they be jumping all over him? I'm like, we don't got to wait till next year. If he doesn't perform in the playoffs this year, they're going to be jumping on him now. And even Cody knows that, because in the brief discussions we've had, he says, I love being here. I love the way the fans treat me. But I know that if I don't keep playing this way and we don't keep winning, that won't continue. So are you guys with me on that? I mean, this guy does not. This is where he's unlike Jesus. He doesn't walk on water, I don't think. Right, Marshall? I mean, he doesn't have carte blanche. He's got to keep doing what he's doing.
Well, I mean, let me give you another perspective. And I don't know that the average fan gets this. When somebody signs a five-year contract, they're not. It's not a five-year contract. It's 5 one-year contracts. And if in year one something falls apart, the wheels fall off the wagon, you cut your losses and you don't pay as year two, three, four, and five. So this is not a five-year contract. It's a two-year contract. And yeah, it's for probably more money than I thought it would be or than I thought it should be. But that's just one person's opinion, and which is, again, like a navel, right? but if, you know, something were to fall off the rails, he was to have a snowmobile accident in the off-season and lose a leg, you know, they're not on the hook for two full years at $400,000+. They're on the hook perhaps for some of the upfront money, but they didn't upfront 2 years worth of money. They upfronted the first year, or they're going to upfront the first year, and then they're, later in the second year, they're going to upfront that money. So you're not out all of that money. I don't think things are going to fall off the rail. I think this guy has a great attitude. I think he's got a great leadership skills. He's not a cocky guy. He's a confident guy, but he's a team guy. He's a people-first guy. He gives credit where credit is due to his offensive line, to his receivers, his defense, everybody. He hits you. If you say, what do you want in a starting quarterback? And you give me 10 things that I'm going to list off, he hits them all.
Oh, he hasn't
hit all of them yet because he hasn't had a chance, as you said in the opening, to play in the cold weather. He hasn't had a chance to play in the playoffs. Give him time. He'll get there.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, furthermore, we're waiting on Greg Zahn. What's happening there, Clark? Oh, all right. Yeah, boy, this is tough. We're going to be ready in less than a minute with Greg Zahn. Just very briefly, Marshall, and we'll kick this around tonight on our television show where it's 100% football, but there's nothing to complain about with the Riders right now. You're a realist, not a negative, but it's very hard to find something wrong with the Riders right now. Would you agree?
Well, they're strong in every position. They're fairly healthy in every position. I haven't heard about Dan Clark at center yet because he left the game early, but they're strong. They're well coached. They got a good quarterback. They've got good players at every position. Are they the favorite to win the Grey Cup? In my opinion, no, but they're certainly in the top three.
All right. Well, here's the segue to our next guest. Greg Zahn played 16 seasons in Major League Baseball, won a World Series, and he's a good and longtime friend of ours. And here's the segue is that we know that he's a Rough Riders fan too, or at least the last I talked to him, he was. Zahn, good day. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show, my man. You're looking fantastic.
I am feeling fantastic, my friend. How are you?
Good, good, good. Look, I know you talked to our producer, Clark, about are we going to talk Riders with Rod today? No, I brought you on for World Series. But what is your take on the green and white here right now?
I'm pretty pumped with green and white. Are you kidding me? It's about time since they were top level. In fact, I was there in Regina watching them win the Grey Cup. Is the last time I thought they were any good. So I'm looking for my helmet right now. It's probably downstairs in the basement. I'm going to send my wife down there to get it. It's over on the left side, honey.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought I had that helmet. I have a helmet that you wore anyways down here, Zahn. So yeah, now things, they're rolling 11-5, and it looks like they could be back in the Grey Cup, which ironically is in Calgary. Do you want to tell any stories about Calgary Grey Cup? That's where the Zahntourage was born.
That's right. That's right. That was my first Grey Cup, 2009, I believe.
Yep.
Jamie Campbell takes me to Grey Cup and, I remember we checked into the hotel. I don't remember if it was a Marriott or a Sheraton, wherever the Spirit of Edmonton party was. And people looked at me like I had three heads. They're like, Greg Zahn, what are you doing here? I'm like, same as you, going to the Grey Cup. It was my first time. And I remember, you know, I've been to the Super Bowl a number of times. I've hosted those fancy parties that people wait hours in line to get in. You know, one time I'm hosting a party with Shannon Elizabeth, Rosario Dawson, Tara Reid. We got guys like Deion Sanders showing up. It was crazy. I go to Grey Cup, and you know, Jamie and I walk down to the front of the line. We're chatting up the guy there who's doing security. And you know, all of a sudden, you know, I say to him after about 10, 12 minutes, you know, I say, what's the deal with you know, us getting into the party? He's like, back of the line's over there. And I thought, huh, all right, I like this place. They're going to make me wait in line like everybody else. But thank God there were people at the back of the line that had beers for us. And so, you know, I got my rider's helmet. Yeah. So, you know what? It's ready. It's ready to make a comeback. Also keeps me nice and warm when I'm dressed up in my my green Carhartt sitting out there freezing my tuchus off.
All right. Oh, I feel like we got a lot to get to with you, Zonnie, because I haven't talked to you for a while. But as I said, it is World Series topic. Game one tonight, Washington going into Houston. Did you see this matchup coming, by the way? At what point did you realize this was going to happen? These are the two teams that are the best in baseball.
Yeah, once Washington, you know, got past the first round, I thought, holy smokes, that's a scary ball club. They're old school as far as the way they're built. They're built on starting pitching. They've got really, really good starting pitching. If they get any kind of offense and they catch the baseball, that's a tough team to beat. You can't win if you don't score. The only thing that works against them is the fact that, you know, Houston's very well-rounded. They're a better offensive ball club. They catch the baseball. They're very athletic, and you know about their starting pitching. I mean, when Zach Greinke's the weak link in your starting rotation, you're in pretty good shape. Verlander, Gerrit Cole, that matchup tonight's going to be sick. Gerrit Cole versus Scherzer, that's going to be some good old-fashioned, you know, country hardball. You're going to see some mid-90s plus with some movement, lots of mixing and matching. I'm never sure what we're going to see on a baseball diamond, but I would not be surprised to see a very, very low scoring game.
Greg Marshall here. I don't have a Grey Cup or a World Series question at the time, but I'm noticing what you're wearing right now, which is certainly toned down from what I'm used to watching you when you're on television. But my question for you, and this is certainly not a criticism, it's more of a compliment, but you wear very flamboyant outfits, and I'm just wondering who is your fashion coordinator?
That would be me. I've always worn a suit in a much more flamboyant way. And honestly, it's you know, little man syndrome. When you walk into a room with a bunch of 6'4" Adonis looking guys, and you're dealing with this, the only chance you have for any sort of attention from the fairer sex is look better in suits, celebrating. And so I came up in a generation of players that. We wore a suit on the plane. We wore a sport coat and slacks to the ballpark in my first couple of years. And that was policy. Now the guys go to the ballpark looking like hobos. They got holes in their jeans and, you know, they're three sizes too small, wearing these skinny things with half of their derrieres hanging out of their pants. They don't look like professionals. They look like amateurs. And so all throughout my career, I always wore a suit on the road, even when it wasn't policy. I tried to, you know, get my teammates and even my coaches, Gibby, to step up their game with regards to what they were wearing on the road. We're going on a business trip, and you should look like a businessman when you're going on a business trip. So I figured, you know what, I'm not going to just wear blue and boring stuff. I loved it. Some of the stuff worked. Some of it was popular. At the end of the day, love me, hate me, agree with me, disagree, tune in to see what I'm going to wear, but you're tuning in. And that was the main goal, was to make sure that people kept tuning in.
I do remember driving to Strasburg and back with you. And I said, how do you feel about being called the Don Cherry of baseball? And you said, I'm not the Don Cherry of baseball. I'm better dressed. So anyways,
well, yeah.
Back to the World Series. Tell me about Dave.
Please.
Tell me about Dave Martinez.
This could be a job-saving run through the postseason. About halfway through the year, there were rumblings that if this guy didn't make the playoffs, he was going to be let go as manager. You know, it's an interesting dynamic. You know, some guys undermanage, some guys overmanage, some guys know exactly how to deal with, you know, their ball club, and, you know, obviously, you know, this is second year, third year for Dave. He's settling in quite nicely with the group that he's got. It helps having talented players. Trust me, they make the dumbest managers look really smart. And that's not my quote. That's Jimmy Leland right there. Good players make managers look awfully smart. And, you know, you can't go wrong with quality starting pitching. They've got some star offensive players. And, you know, that group as a collective, minus Bryce Harper going to the World Series, tells you all you need to know about them and about how small the impact of one player can be if it's the wrong guy. I mean, when you look at, you know, Harper and his exit from the franchise, yeah, certainly he didn't have a Bryce Harper like year. Still hit 30-plus homers, still drove in 100-plus runs, but not quite what the Phillies were asking for. But, you know, is it an accident that the Washington Nationals find themselves in the World Series a year minus Harper? In my opinion, no, because when you have star names like that in your lineup, and I'm not taking anything away from Anthony Rendon. This guy's an absolute stud. But I think a lot of people pick up the pace. They pick up the slack. They're like, all right, well, it's going to be tough to replace a guy like that. But you know what? If we all step our games up collectively a little bit, we can make up for that loss. And they certainly have. They were a different ball club in the second half, and their pitching is going to take them as far as they can go. Or I should say they're only going to go as far as that starting pitching takes them. They're not going to outslug the Houston Astros.
Zonny, I could go all night. I'm going to try and fire three quick ones at you. But one, the Nationals haven't played in a week. I saw a report from your buddy Arash this morning that the Nationals think that's a problem. Well, some of them liked it. Where do you stand on that big of a rest between the League Championship Series and the World Series?
It's not good. I've never seen it work in any team's favor. You develop a certain rhythm. I think, to me, anything more than 48 hours is way too long to wait. And you run the risk, like if you want to do inter-squad games or try, you know, live batting practice or whatever, that can be dangerous. All of a sudden, one gets away from somebody and one of your star players gets injured in an inter-squad game. That's why you don't see too many teams do it. And it's why it's difficult to stay sharp against a 50-mile-an-hour fastball. Guys have to find interesting ways. The rust will start to settle onto a baseball player. You get into an ebb and a flow, a rhythm, and the rhythm of the season is what keeps you going.
You got a prediction on series length and who will win?
Yeah, Houston in five. I think Washington will win one game, like maybe tonight. But I think Houston's going to outlast them, and I think it's going to be over fairly quick.
Okay, and I saw either this morning or last night on Facebook, you said Morgana, the infamous kissing bandit, Marshall, you'd know who that is, got you. Where was it?
You got me. 1993, we were technically the Bowie Bay Sox, but we were playing in Memorial Stadium. It was the year after the Orioles moved over to Camden Yards, and nobody told me it was coming. I knew who she was. I knew what would happen if I ever saw her. And sure enough, she came trotting out onto the field when I was up at the plate, and I of course put up no resistance whatsoever. It was a privilege and to get the kissing bandit more.
And no kidding. Darren, do you know who that is, by the way?
No.
Morgana the kissing bandit.
You said kissing bandit. I just thought Adriano Belli. That's the only thing I thought of.
She doesn't look like Adriano. Google her. And, yeah.
It's a little bit like Dolly Parton.
A lot like Dolly Parton.
I will Google her.
Yeah, now she is. Zonny, thanks for this as always, my man. Love seeing what you're doing there. My best to Michelle, and let's keep in touch.
Hey, go Riders, baby. Come on now.
You got it. Great cap run. Greg Zahn joining us today, 16-year Major League Baseball champion. Veteran and a World Series champion with the Florida Marlins. We'll be right back. It's the Rod Peterson Show on this Tuesday morning. Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com. And don't forget to catch all the best clips on our YouTube channel.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of The Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
All right, welcome back to the program, everybody, on this Tuesday. Your favorite sports talk show rolls on here in hour one of episode number 99. People are writing in with 99s, like Aaron Judge, Nick Hebler. Listen, stop. It's the great one. He's the only guy that we're going to recognize today on the 99th episode. Tomorrow, 100. We'll talk about tomorrow. Checking the poll results for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center. The daily poll question is, who is the most outstanding player in the CFL West this year? Leading the way. I'm going to go with the Twitter results. Clark's got the Facebook results up there. They're very similar. Cody Fajardo, 58% of the vote, leading. Brian Burnham of the BC Lions, 19%. Andrew Harris of the Bombers, 15%. And Bull Levi Mitchell of the Calgary Stampeders, 7%. Why is there no Edmonton Eskimo in the poll? Ask them. Who would you vote for?
None of our viewers have jumped in to tell me who they would pick.
No, they haven't had one. And here come all the World Series predictions. We welcome to the bunker our director of scouting, Craig Smith. How you doing, Smitty?
Not bad.
Guess I got an idea who you think's going to win the World Series, judging by your headwear.
I do. I think the Astros will do it. But, man, I'll tell you, it's going to be great. The matchups, the pitching matchups are just going to be so cool to see. You know, Astros seem to just come through with clutch hitting. But, you know, they got those two guys that can win four games. But so do the Nationals. They got two guys that can certainly win four games as well. So I'm really looking forward to this.
Well, you are proving to be a real sportsman, which we knew. But I'll tell you why. You're a dyed-in-the-wool Yankees fan.
Big time.
Right. And here you are cheering for the team that beat them out.
Yeah.
So that means you're a sportsman, because most fans, right, Marshall, would be too ticked, and you'd want that team to lose.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy Kimmel had something on last night, and they were saying, hey, what do you say to the Houston Astros? You should have seen the comments. It was unbelievable. The typical New York. I don't know if you've ever gone to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty funny. But, yeah, and you know what? We had a place down in Texas, and Houston was the closest place. So we kind of started cheering, for the Texans. And, I know some people with the Texans, so them and then the Astros. And all of a sudden, when we were kind of rooting for the Astros, they were horrible. I mean, they were just so bad. And then all of a sudden, bang, they just, started to get good and won 2 years ago, beat the Yankees 2 years ago and knocked them out. And now they're back. So I'm fired up.
Well, it makes sense that you'd be a fan. And I like what Greg Zahn said. For game one, at least, a very low-scoring game, 6:07 tonight, first pitch. So there's a lot of topics in the air today on this Tuesday morning coffee get-together, and those are the World Series matchup, Cody Fajardo's contract extension, and, of course, the poll question, who's the West Division most outstanding player in the CFL, and we haven't even got to Heritage Classic yet, and we will. But I brought Smitty in early for a good football chat with Marshall Hamilton and Craig Smith here. And Marshall, you jump in anytime, but I want to get your thoughts, Craig, on the extension of Cody Fajardo. You just seem over the moon with this from a Rider perspective.
Well, I'm so happy for the Riders because, you know, how many shows ago did we say they got to sign him? And they did. J.O. did an unbelievable job to lock him up for a couple of years. Now, my thoughts are they're Grey Cup contenders for the next 3 years. Riders, you know, obviously, I think most of them are doing cartwheels, but they sure should be because this is an amazing signing. They've got a heck of a football team. And, you know, I mean, when I was with the Riders, we went into Calgary twice, and we beat them in the to go to the Grey Cup. So, I mean, anything can happen. And this team is good enough to go to the Grey Cup.
The other thing I'll add is, and I didn't say this earlier, but I like the timing of this, not just because mm-hmm. we got it done, but we got it done before the meaningful games really mm-hmm. start to happen. I mean, yep. these next two games for Saskatchewan are really meaningful if they plan to finish and want to finish in first place, which I'm sure they do. But it's also before they start getting into the playoff games. And, you know, even though a player says, and I'm sure Cody's saying, it wouldn't have been on my mind, bull. It is on your mind, mm-hmm. that contract extension. And every play that you make that's a good one, you're thinking contract extension. Every play that you make that's a bad one, every interception you throw, you're yep. thinking, this has an impact on my contract extension. Now he doesn't have to think about that. Yep. All he can focus on is good preparation for the game, good preparation and good planning during the game, good execution, and being a good leader and teammate that he is. So I love the fact that they got this done now as opposed to in the offseason.
Just reading the Facebook comments as we chat this morning. Greg Gillespie writes in and he says, highlight of my day is watching your show. Great news yesterday, rider-wise, not so much nation-wise. We're not touching politics anymore. We did in the warm-up and moving on. This is supposed to be a happy show. Wayne, out in BC, says, is there a monetary prize included when you win the most outstanding player of the CFL? Well, I'm sure there is from the league. There's definitely... That's built into contracts, right, Smitty? I don't know how many contracts you've seen, but Marshall's nodding his head. Yes, yeah, there's a yeah. bonus I mean, from the team.
Yeah, I was a defensive back, and I had it in my contract. I mean, yeah. the chances of me winning the MOP were like 0.000, but it was in the contract. So I'm sure every player, especially every starting yeah. quarterback in the Canadian Football League, will have something like that in their contract. I think there is some money from the league, too. I don't think it's just contract.
Well, there's a trophy, sure. and there probably is something from the league, too. Yeah, but I sure. go ahead, Smitty.
I'm not sure about that, yeah. but with regards to the league.
Yep. I want to move on, too, on this Fajardo thing, because, you know, those guys in Lloydminster that had me on the radio today, they're pretty smart guys. They ask good questions, and they said, what's changed? What worked with Cody Fajardo? You said, Craig, nobody saw this coming. You're right. We've had Travis Lule on this show, and who did we have from the Argos? Well, Jim Pop at the time. We've had a few Argos guys that had Cody there. Nobody saw this coming. Nobody. I think it was Ricky Foley or maybe Chad Owens. Guys that have all played. But nobody saw it coming.
But
what changed?
That's the way it is, though. It's like Ricky Ray's tape went all over the place. Edmonton took him. Edmonton got him there. Because you looked at his tape, and I looked at it, and I thought, geez, this, you know, he's not bad. But I never said, this guy's a Hall of Famer. There's no way I said that. But, you know, Cody, same thing. Saw him in the New Orleans Bowl. He was on the necklace already. I was, you know, I would have put him on. But, like, I'm no genius. I mean, he's just, you know, the game that he played that day, big deal. And you know, what a surprise. I mean, just the way this all rolled out. You know, with regards to three plays, everybody's worrying about Zach and three. You know, three plays in, boop, is gone. Well, now Fajardo, so he finishes the game. Then the next game, he has an unbelievable game against Ottawa, where he's throwing the football like as good as you can get, and then it just keeps on going. I mean, it's such an exciting story. It's such a great thing for the CFL.
I mean, here are my thoughts, and I've never been a scout like Craig, but. I spent a career doing human resources, and in human resources, you're interviewing a lot of people for different positions in mm-hmm. leadership, et cetera. You know, somebody can have a really, and I'm using some metaphors that can go to both sport and the world of business, but you can have a really good resume, But I still want to see the whites of your eyes. I still want to meet you. I want to find out what makes you tick. I want to talk about what excites you, what really gets you going, what your work ethic's all about, what your leadership style is, what you aspire to in life. I want to learn all those things about you, and I can only learn that by meeting you and getting to know you. I can't do that by watching your tape film, your game films. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can learn lots from your game film, absolutely. But there's lots of people that have great game tapes, but when you meet them, you kind of go, "Jesus, there's just not much. There's not much pilot. There's no pilot light in that furnace," and you know, so whoever, you know, and I'm assuming Jeremy O'Day and Craig Dickinson, et cetera, had a chance to meet with Cody Fajardo as part of the free agent signing process and went, "I like that guy. And he's got good game tape. He hasn't proven anything yet in the Canadian Football League because he's been behind Travis Lule and he's been behind
Ricky Ray.
But I like this guy. Let's give him a chance. Give him a chance. And now this thing's starting to shine.
And you could see that, you know, meeting Cody Fajardo, the guy is just unbelievable. What a great, just a fantastic role model for everybody. He looks like he's, you know, a guy that you want to hang around with. I mean, it's just a great thing. The game film, obviously, is a starting point. You know, you take a look at the game film and say, "Man, I like this guy." But he comes in and he's a jerk. You don't want him. You know, so it's, you know, Cody's personality, probably his intelligence, you know, that all showed, and they made a decision to get that guy, and boy, what a decision.
I'm so grateful for the time I was able to spend with Cody to get to know him, and now when people say, and I hear it a lot because I'm all over this province, is this guy as wholesome as he looks? I'm like, probably more so. Yeah. Probably more so, believe it or not. So, yeah, he is a good fit. Now, moving on. Producer Clark proving why he's the best producer in the game. He says, Bob Irving, voice of the Bombers, tweeting that, as expected, Zach Collaros is not practicing with the Bombers today. Now, they've got Calgary in there on Friday night. And I am going to defer to you guys because there's something I'm not getting here.
Not practicing. Not practicing as the starter.
It says not practicing with the Bombers.
At all.
That's what it says here. Hmm. Oh. Clark, you're having a tough day. Oh, it's Bob. It's not Clark. Streveler's not practicing.
Oh, okay.
It's not Clark. It's Bob Irving. Can we just rewind, hit that button, take you back 30 seconds? Yeah. Okay. Now things are starting to make a little
more
sense.
This makes more sense, yes.
Well, the CFL website this morning, CFL.ca, says, will Zach Calero start for the Bombers? And obviously they're talking about this week. And I'm thinking, if you couldn't play him 3 days ago at McMahon, why would you play him Friday night at IG Field? But now we know.
Yep.
Streveler's out. Okay, guys, so here we go. And Smitty, you're Bomber alum. Maybe you can handle this first. I'd be pretty worried if I was them. Mm-hmm. Because you're going into the playoffs with way, way, way more questions than you have answers.
Yeah, even if Streveler was healthy, you know that I've been, a backer of Streveler and obviously seen some good things. But, boy, he sure has disappointed me. You know, I thought he was going to do a heck of a lot better. And, so even if Streveler was healthy going into that, I mean, they still got a chance. You know, they played him pretty good last week. They could have won that game. They're going back. You know, it's tough to play at IG Field. But now, who knows what the heck's going to happen? I mean, Streveler certainly added stuff, right, with regards to him being able to run. But now, who knows? I mean, geez, it's going to be just like a who knows? It's crazy, crazy stuff in Winnipeg right now.
I'm actually surprised that he's lasted this long. Yeah. And I don't mean in terms of tenure with the team, but in terms of physically, the beating that guy took in every game that he started. And when I say took, it's part of it is gave, because he didn't shy away from contact. He initiated a lot of contact. So, you know, probably half of the hits that he took, he didn't want to hit or didn't want to take. And the other half he initiated. So the combination of all those hits has taken its toll, and I'm surprised he actually came back into the game at halftime, and certainly later on. I mean, at halftime it was the hand, and in the third quarter, I think it was, or maybe it was the fourth, it was the ankle. Yeah. The way he was hobbling with that ankle, I thought there's no way he's going to be finishing this game. He did, but I know what those ankles feel like the next day and the day after, he's probably on crutches right now.
Yeah.
And I don't mean with a cast.
No.
Even if it's just a sprained ankle, he's probably having trouble putting any weight on that. Yeah. So I'm not surprised he's not practicing today.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. I just can't see there's any way that they're going to beat the Calgary Stampeders on Friday night. And they couldn't beat him with Matt Nichols. And they couldn't beat him with Strebler. They're damn sure not going to beat him with Zach Collaros. So we're looking at Winnipeg probably coming here or Calgary for the Western semifinal. I mean, the Riders, I'm not going to get into Rider math here because it gives me a headache. But I think the Winnipeg Blue Bombers are finishing third. End of story. Mm-hmm. And if they, and I like the Bombers. I've said all year that I would like them to win the Grey Cup and end the drought because I like the guys that are running the place in Kyle Walters and O'Shea and LaPolice and Richie Hall. But I'm telling you, the team is not as good as we were told they were, because if you lose your quarterback and your season goes up in smoke, which it has, they've lost four of their last five, 5 of 8 without Matt Nichols. You're not as good as you're telling everybody that you are. Simple. And look at the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Look at the Montreal Alouettes. Look at the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. I'm sorry. And I was told some really nasty things by Bomber fans over the last 24 hours when I said on yesterday's show that Winnipeg should not be in the discussion as the top four teams in the CFL right now. They didn't like it. Well, I'm sorry. You lose 4 or 5, you are not one of the hottest teams in the CFL right now. You're just not. And I saw the power rankings come out today from the CFL, and they got Winnipeg in fourth. Good for you. Good for you, because that doesn't mean anything right now anyways. It's who's going to be left standing at the end of the year, but it's not going to be Winnipeg.
You think about the two games where they were up 20 and 24. If they finish those off, look where they'd be in the standings right now. Like it's so incredible. Like, you know.
And that's a defensive problem.
And one of them was against Toronto. I mean, oh, wow.
And in Montreal, you would think you would have learned these lessons. Absolutely. It's not all on the quarterback.
No.
And even some of the guys that you didn't think would start to unravel, like Mike O'Shea, who I'm a Mike O'Shea fan, or at least I have been for a long time, he's starting to unravel as a head coach. He's starting to make decisions that are questionable. And Lapo, some of the decisions that he's made, and maybe even some of Richie Hall's decisions. Now, Richie's going through a tough time having lost a brother, but some of the strengths of that team, including Andrew Harris, who I haven't mentioned yet, started to unravel this year. And a team that just looks so dominant. I picked them as my number one favorite at the beginning of the season, and they've just continued to fall from about week 5 or 6 on away as they start to unravel. And it's starting to look like there's a curse. You know, they haven't won a Grey Cup since, 1990, I think it is. 90, it's the longest running team, a drought for a team in the Canadian Football League. It's starting to look like a curse right now.
I got to look. I think I have Tom Burgess's contact info. I think I have Burgess, or we may be Facebook friends. And I want to know if he cursed that locker room on his way out after 19, because it is starting to look like that. Just some breaking news before we go off the air. Not just from Bob Irving, that Strebler is not practicing with the Bombers today. Thank you, Clark, for putting this up. Danny Austin of the Calgary Sun reporting the Stampeders have signed Dexter McCoyle to their practice roster.
Boy.
The safety won the 2014 CFL Most Outstanding Rookie Award while with the Eskimos, and then spent time with the San Diego Chargers and San Francisco 49ers. So the rich get richer. That's what Calgary's doing over there. So coming up next hour, we've got Jim Lang, our NFL insider, plus more CFL discussion with these guys. It is episode number 99 of the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcasts at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Our biggest sale of the Year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming of the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.